On Tech News Today, Facebook gets into the Internet of Things. Plus, Amazon says the FAA is way too slow to approve drones. And YouTube is planning to compete with Amazon's Twitch. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
It's time for Twit's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 49 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off image subscription packages on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use offer code TNT0315. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/TNT and entering promo code TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. My name is Mike Elgin, and welcome to the show. Our co-anchor today is Bloomberg View tech columnist Katie Benner. How the heck are you, Katie?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, you wrote a really interesting piece very recently that answered the question, why do Silicon Valley companies like Google like to hire Wall Street types like Ruth Porat? So tell us, Katie, why do they? What's with the love affair by Silicon Valley of Wall Street people?
Sure, of course. You know, I think that one of the things that the Silicon Valley companies get when they hire Wall Street people, they get financial expertise. They get this sort of marquee talent, proven talent that the street really likes, and bragging rights that we were able to nail down somebody who was so high profile. So Ruth Porat is a great example. She was at Morgan Stanley. She did a lot during the financial crisis. She's well trusted by the government. President Obama wanted her to work in the Treasury Department. She has done a lot to rebuild Morgan Stanley's reputation with investors after the financial crisis, and the stock has been soaring. If you look at what's going on with Google, you know, analysts and investors have been worrying about slowing growth, and there have been concerns around antitrust issues that the Wall Street Journal just revealed. Somebody like Ruth Porat is a great ambassador, and she has a really deft hand with both regulators and investors. And we've seen this again and again. Google's not the only company. So Square, which people have wondered, you know, what are they going to do about a business model? How are they going to thrive? They hired some folks from Goldman Sachs, including their CFO, Sarah Friar, and they brought on a board member, David Viniar, who used to be the CFO of Goldman Sachs as well, and he is fantastic. So that's a way of saying, okay, we really do have financial acumen. We're a fintech company, and we know what we're doing. Snapchat, which is a company everybody loves, but people are wondering, what are they going to do about strategy, and when will they have their IPO? They hired Credit Suisse's head tech banker, Imran Khan. Again, a big get, a really good name. So this is a trend that's been happening, and I think that, you know, so far has been successful for tech companies.
Yeah, and you can see why the Wall Street types would want to work in Silicon Valley, too, because they don't have to wear a suit, right? You can wear a hoodie to work or something. And, of course, Google's recent acquisition, Ruth Porat, who had been at Goldman Sachs since 1987, which is kind of...
Or Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley, I'm sorry, yes. She was involved in lots of startups, really famous startups like eBay and others. And so she's been intimately involved with the machinations of Silicon Valley, you know, startups and all that kind of stuff for a long time. And she considers herself a Palo Alto native, even though I think she was born in England or somewhere else. I don't think she was born in California, but she considers it coming home. So this is a great move, I think, for everybody.
Right, exactly. And, you know, again, that tech banker cred, she really actually understands these businesses. So that's very helpful.
Yeah. Anyway, great article. Check it out at Bloomberg View, everyone. Why don't we jump into the news? Facebook's FA conference starts in about an hour, but already cryptic information about what Facebook will announce may have leaked through the event's official app, according to a report on TechCrunch. The app said, quote, "The garage and demo areas are now open." Apparently, this is some kind of announcement they're planning. And this message went on. "Just revealed, Parse for Internet of Things. Messenger is a platform. and the teleportation station. Katie Benner, this is some of this looks pretty obvious. Parse, of course, is a mobile platform that Facebook acquired in April of 2013. So they're extending that to the Internet of Things. Why a social network would want to get into the Internet of Things is another issue. But Messenger is a platform. This is something that's been rumored and reported. That means that companies are going to be writing applications or apps, which will probably be demoed today for Messenger, for the Messenger app. The one that really kind of makes me wonder what the heck is going on is teleportation station. Any wild guesses about what Facebook's teleportation station is all about?
You know, I got to say, I have no idea what that could mean. I'm sure that we'll be excited to find out in just a few hours. It's funny, one thing that you mentioned about Parse, this idea of building out Internet of Things applications for mobile developers, there is currently an Internet of Things platform called Wink that's being run by a startup called Quirky, and that's been pretty successful, but it doesn't have a lot of competition. So it will be interesting to see if Facebook can come up with a great platform that will connect all of our connected home devices in a way that's as simple to use as Wink.
Yeah, I hope they can. I hope somebody does, and I hope we don't end up with too many platforms that are incompatible that sort of ruin the whole Internet of Things phenomenon because we have multiple and competing standards. Now, the information has also reported that Facebook is in discussion with content companies like Vice, The Onion, Vox Media, and others to produce short-form videos for the social network, and they're seeing this as a way to build up, kind of have sponsored, branded content within Facebook. And this is codenamed Anthology, or it may actually be called Anthology, although that's a terrible name if that is the actual name. And Recode is reporting that Facebook is testing autoplaying the next video after the current one ends. So right now, of course, video views, or at least video plays on Facebook, are through the roof because, in part, autoplaying videos. You just scroll to a video and it starts playing. Now, when that video is over, or in the future at some point, according to this report from Recode, the next video will play, and the next, and the next, and the next, and then Facebook will be able to tell advertisers, look at all the videos people are watching on Facebook, whereas it could be that just somebody wanted away from their system. But one way or the other, we're going to hear about all of this today at F8, and of course, we're going to be covering that here at live.twit.tv. Leo and I are going to live blab the keynote, which is probably going to be Mark Zuckerberg today, and probably not Mark Zuckerberg tomorrow. We're going to do it 2 days in a row. Katie, any thoughts on this whole video strategy for Facebook?
Well, two things. One, Madison Avenue has been paying a lot of money. They really like video ads. And right now, if you look at what's happening in the online advertising space, just like the cost of creating content for publishing companies has gone down, making it really, really hard to charge a lot of money for stories, the same thing's happening in the ad world. So the cost of producing an online ad, they're not as valuable because there's limitless space. You know, you can have ads forever and ever, so you've seen ad rates drop and drop and drop. So for a company like Facebook, they're saying, okay, we want professional content, and we want content that's going to really draw in and attract users and keep them on the site in a way that creates a lot of engagement. And people are thinking that video is one way to do that, and that professional quality video created by companies like Vox Media or BuzzFeed would be a great way to create the kind of content that advertisers are used to paying up for. Television, essentially. They're also working with publishers to see if they can host stories from the New York Times and BuzzFeed, because again, that professional content, advertisers will pay more money to run ads against rather than like the home videos that you and I post or the photos.
Yeah, absent cat videos in my case. I don't post cat videos. Actually, that's not true. I've done meerkat sessions. But anyway, that's a long story. And of course, we reported yesterday that Twitter is also messing around with self-playing videos as part of its effort to be more like Facebook and have Facebook-like engagement. Got some more news for you in a sec, but first let's talk about Shutterstock. We live in a visual world, especially on social media, especially on blogging. But if you're going to have an ad, you're going to have any sort of campaign online, you got to have beautiful photos. And Shutterstock is the place to get them because they have 370,000 images, not total, but that's how many they add every single week. new ones. They have a total of 49 million high-quality photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. No matter what your project is, you're going to find great images and videos and illustrations for that project, because their search engine is really sophisticated. You can search and then drill down by subject, color, file type, gender, emotion, you name it. And then when you find the pictures you like, you can use their shareable lightboxes feature. So you can gather together few dozen pictures and share them with the other people on your project. Hey, what do you think about these? Go back and forth. It's really a great way to collaborate over images. And of course, they have an award-winning iPad app that's absolutely beautiful. Their marketplace is multilingual and international. So, of course, customer service. If you have team members in another country that speak another language, they can get Shutterstock support in their native language. You can try Shutterstock today by signing up for a free account. And you know what? No credit card is needed. Just start an account and begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like, and save some favorite images to a lightbox to review later. Once you decide to buy, use offer code TNT0315 and new accounts will receive 20% off image subscription packages. That's Shutterstock.com, and for 20% off image subscription packages on new accounts, use offer code TNT0315. We thank Shutterstock for their support of Tech News Today. Well, in a related story, Facebook announced today a new feature called On This Day, which shows posts made on the same day of a previous year, either on your own posts or the ones you've been tagged in. The feature is similar to an app called Time Hop, and Facebook's version is going to be available, or is available depending, at facebook.com/onthisday. Facebook's rolling it out gradually to users. And this sounds like a way to use nostalgia to boost engagement. Sounds like it might be kind of a fun feature, though, Katie.
Sure, of course. I think that Time Hop was really successful, and Facebook does have a history of figuring out what's worked on the site and then trying to create its own version. Not necessarily a successful history of that. I mean, there are sort of Snapchat, copycat, things like that haven't really taken off, but they do try, and they do understand this is something people like.
Yep, but they have had a string of failures for things like this. Time Hop, unlike Facebook's version, pulls not only for Facebook, but also Twitter, Instagram, Foursquare, Flickr, Dropbox, iPhoto, and even your own camera roll. So it's a lot more full-featured. This could get a lot of downloads for Time Hop. I downloaded it myself this morning preparing for this story, so I imagine a lot of people will be downloading that as well. So we'll see if Facebook succeeds with that feature. Well, we told you this week that Amazon had finally gotten approval to test a delivery drone inside the United States. And it turns out that the FAA's approval was so slow that the approved drone had already been scrapped as obsolete by Amazon. At least that's what Paul Misener, Amazon's vice president for global public policy, told a congressional hearing yesterday. Jay Green is a business reporter for the Seattle Times and joins us now. Welcome to you, Jay.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike.
Thanks for being here. Now, the FAA yesterday unveiled a blanket certification for using drones at up to 200 feet high during daylight hours. Does this help Amazon? Does this solve Amazon's problem?
It helps Amazon, sure. Solves the problem? Probably not. Amazon wants to test. Well, the blanket approval allows them to fly it 200 feet or down in daylight, in the line of sight. And, you know, the fact is Amazon wants to test these things out of the line of sight. And so it's a start, but I think Amazon would tell you it's nowhere near enough.
Sure. And you wrote that Amazon's worried about rules preventing the company from flying drones beyond, they're testing drones in the UK. And I'm wondering what the differences are between the rules in the UK and the rules in the US.
So the answer is mostly that they're much faster in the UK giving Amazon approval. At least that's what Amazon is saying. And the reason for that is the FAA testified about this as well. And the reason for that is that the FAA describes the American airspace as more complex. And I think what they really mean is that there are a lot more private pilots here. There's a lot more stuff going around the airspace here than in the UK. And so it's easier for UK regulators to give Amazon quicker approval to test out their drones.
Now, that's what they say, but that sounds unlikely to me. I mean, the UK is, you know, obviously has some very busy airspaces, and it's a smaller landmass. Amazon is talking about testing drones over private property in a remote area of Washington State. And it sounds to me like, I would tend to agree with Amazon that the FAA is just way too slow, behind the curve, and overly focusing on its own mission while allowing, U.S. competitiveness in the drone industry to sort of fall behind. behind and forcing American companies to go abroad in order to test their drones. Drones are going to be tested one place or another. In the case of Google, it's going to be Australia. In the case of Amazon, it's going to be the UK. And lots of companies are probably testing all over the world. Now, can you talk about the team that Amazon has hired to design and run its drone program? I was somewhat blown away reading your article.
Yeah, you know, so Amazon has actually not disclosed much about it. They've said, you know, they've talked in very general terms about the folks that they've had. They've, you know, roboticists and the aeronautical engineers. They say they have one astronaut on the team. So they're clearly putting a lot of wood behind this. I mean, there's no doubt that they're going to spend a lot of money on making this vision happen.
So you mentioned an astronaut. That's kind of shocking news. I don't know what an astronaut could help, you know, how an astronaut could help, although they're probably, if they're from the Apollo mission, they're probably really good with joysticks and that sort of thing. But I'm having trouble imagining what that would be. Now, do you think that the FAA is eventually or sooner or later going to come along and approve rules that Amazon will actually like?
That's an interesting question. You know, what's interesting is I think your perspective is shared by a lot of the folks on that Senate panel that the FAA is moving too slow. The FAA administrator who testified said, you know, that's all well and good, but if there's ever an accident, if there's ever any loss of life, any mishap, those senators will be hauling her before the Senate panel again saying, hey, what the heck happened? So I suspect, and Amazon even said this, Paul Meisner even said this during his testimony yesterday, he thinks the FAA has turned a corner. And I suspect the FAA has gotten some messages from Congress and from business as well that they might need to pick up their pace a little bit. But I also doubt that they're going to, you know, give broad approval to Amazon to test just anything. Because, I think they're afraid that the second a drone has any kind of problem, they're going to get hauled before Congress and say, you know, what the heck happened? Why weren't you on the case?
The tragedy is that they won't be hauled before Congress if the industry is delayed and the life-saving attributes of drones are not put into effect earlier, bringing medicine into disaster areas and all the rest. I mean, drones can be very life-saving technologies.
True enough. Well, I guess I'd just say they were hauled before Congress and they were given a hard time for moving too slowly. So I'm not so sure what you're saying is actually right. I mean, the question is, you know, how much pressure is brought to bear on them? And also then, you know, what are the issues, right? These things should be investigated, right? And, you know, another issue that certainly has come up that's, I think, near and dear to a lot of folks in technology is privacy and you know, what the implications are of drones in terms of privacy. And those issues were discussed in a small measure yesterday, and I suspect they'll be discussed a lot more, too.
I think it's somewhat ironic that, of course, a private use of drones is much less restricted than commercial use of drones, and yet pretty much all of the mishaps we've heard about have been from private users, you know, flying into the White House and that sort of thing. Jay Green is at theseattletimes.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Green with an E at the end. Thanks for joining us today, Jay.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Let us know what you think about the FAA's approach to drone approval by sending email to tnt@twit.tv. Well, the Daily Dot is reporting that a new YouTube Live will launch soon, targeting Twitch-like gaming videos and other uses. Richard Lewis is a contributing writer for the Daily Dot and joins us now. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, Mike. Really appreciate it.
We're glad you're here. Now, what else do we know about YouTube's forthcoming streaming service?
It's very interesting. It's been in the works for quite a while, and I'm certainly not an esteemed tech journalist like yourself or the other people that have been on the show. My speciality is esports, competitive gaming, and gaming in general. And that's going to be a big driving focus for them. Esports has been very prominent in the media lately. There's been a big land grab to try and acquire as much kind of content around that because of the demographic it caters to and the huge growing numbers. You know, we're getting events now such as the International, which is reporting, you know, 9 million, 10 million, you know, concurrent viewers. We've got League of Legends that are doing, you know, 15 million concurrent viewers for their world finals. So this has been a big, driving point for YouTube. They took a chap called Ryan Wyatt, who used to work for Machinima and then Major League Gaming. He was a former commentator, and they brought him in as a head of gaming. So all of his background is in broadcasting, gaming streams primarily. And he's headed up this group, and they've got the old Google war chest out and have really spent big, apparently. All my sources have told me they've recruited 50 engineers, all that have live streaming expertise in a bid to effectively challenge Twitch. Twitch TV have had this monopoly within this space. And, of course, Google themselves tried to acquire Twitch for $1 billion, but pulled out due to antitrust concerns. So I think it's kind of they let it get away, and now it's that they're coming back to kind of to crush them.
You know, what do you think their chances are of becoming a formidable direct competitor to Twitch, which is a platform that's already so popular?
I mean, look, I'm as familiar as anyone out there in the tech industry with the Google misstep, shall we say. You know, not everything's a win for them. But what I will say is they're very, very serious about this. This has been an ongoing project since 2010. When they started streaming Indian Premier League cricket matches, they definitely want to get into the live streaming area. And I think they've now got this specific focus that I think is going to really help them. In terms of can they challenge Twitch? I mean, Twitch are way out in front, which is why they were a desirable acquisition for so many companies. Obviously, Amazon won that bidding war, but there was even sources saying Facebook made a last-minute bid to try and acquire that property. And I think YouTube are deadly serious. I mean, 50 engineers, again, as I said, that's a huge statement of intent. And I think they've got problems they need to overcome. I mean, the gaming audience are a little bit dubious about the prospect of streaming because of the YouTube copyright issues that they have in certain countries, like Germany, where gaming's very big. They've got some hurdles they're going to need to overcome, I think. But it's going to be interesting. It's an interesting time for anybody that works in that particular industry because Twitch have had a monopoly and there's been a starvation of opportunities outside of Twitch for all of the talent in that space.
When do you expect this to be announced?
E3. All my sources have indicated that YouTube will go to E3, which is in mid-June, and they're going to make a big announcement about it there. When we reached out to YouTube for comment, interestingly enough, they didn't even provide a no comment. They sent me back a GIF of a child at a birthday party kind of shrugging like that, which was very strange. I've never had that in all my years of reporting. So I guess this implies that there's certainly more than a grain of truth to the report.
Yeah, I love that. There's got to be a lot more of that, and maybe that, you know, we can run it on TV, you know, TV shows like this one or others, where instead of a no comment, we just get that. You know, I'd love that from Google. Richard Lewis is at DailyDot.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @RLewisReports. Thank you so much for joining us today, Richard.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Really appreciate it.
All right. Google is reportedly working on a way to pay your bills from inside Gmail. It's called Pony Express, according to Recode, although it's not clear whether that's a code name. According to the documents obtained by Recode, a third-party company would verify your identity before you could use the service. Then bills coming into your inbox could be paid directly from either Gmail or Google Inbox. Recode speculated that the service could lead to personal financial services or lending, and that the data could be used to show contextual advertising. Again, that's speculation on the part of Recode. Katie Benner, you're a financial genius. What do you think about this? Is this a good idea to be able to pay bills from within an email, cloud-based service?
Sure, provided that it's extremely secure. Why not? But really, security is compromised all the time. I think that Rico's probably right that the most obvious thing that Google will do is try to sell ads against this, because if they know what you're selling, they know how much electricity you're using, they sort of know what you're cell phone usages, who your providers are, the sorts of things you like to buy, what's in your credit card bill. They can really target ads there, and that's sort of their bread and butter. I don't know that it would be used for to create a lending platform that's extremely high risk, but it certainly can be used to create a more robust payments platform, which is something that all tech companies right now are trying to get involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it reminds me of a service that I used to toy with. I don't think I actually ever used it full time, but basically they would take your paper mail, you'd mail it to them, they'd give you an address and tell everybody your address, then that would go to them. They would scan it, and then you'd see all your scanned email in a sort of database, and you could say, yeah, go ahead and open that one. And if they opened it, there was an additional charge and so on. That doesn't make sense, because that's a very sort of expensive kind of hand you know, requires a lot of human intervention. Whereas this, what Google's talking about is they're talking about working with the companies that that bundle up these bills for utilities and other companies like that. So if they go through and they work with these companies and to enable digital versions of bills, that could be a really great service just across the board, whether it's in email or not. Just to have it be digital would be a huge boon, I would think.
Sure.
Well, in product update news, Google announced yesterday that Salt Lake City will be the next lucky city to get Google Fiber. Google Fiber is already available in Kansas City and also in Austin, Texas, Provo, Utah, and Google's considering bringing its fiber service to San Jose, California, Portland, Oregon, Phoenix, Arizona, and San Antonio, Texas. So that Salt Lake City already has great slopes. Now they're getting fast internet. It's just not fair. The world isn't fair. Well, in mergers and acquisitions news, the printer company Lexmark International intends to buy Kofax for about $1 billion in a deal set to double Lexmark's enterprise software business. The printer business is not so hot, but enterprise software is. And so I think they're making a big move to sort of more diversify or better diversify where their money comes from. In other mergers and acquisitions news, Apple bought a startup called FoundationDB, which makes a database technology for processing huge amounts of data quickly. And this led to a huge amount of speculation, Katie Benner, about what they would do with this. One of them is to quickly process iMessage messages. There's any number of things that they could use this for. In fact, they could standardize. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. They could standardize, you know, Siri queries, you name it. There's lots of things they could do with this. But apparently, they specialize in having really enormous databases that process queries very, very quickly. Well, we're going to have a little bit more news for you coming up in just a second. But first, let's talk about getting a good night's sleep with our second sponsor, which is Casper. Casper will actually mail you a mattress. That's right. They'll mail you this box. And when you rip it open, a mattress will sort of form itself over the next hour or so. They use multiple technologies, including latex and memory foam technologies, to give you a mattress that's both firm and also really soft. Super, super comfortable. They're so confident in how comfortable these mattresses are that they'll let you sleep on it for 100 days before you decide whether or not you want to keep it. If you decide you don't want to keep it, you can just send it back. It's a painless return policy. And of course, delivery in the first instance is free. And so you really can't decide, you really can't figure out whether a mattress is going to give you a good night's sleep in the showroom. You can't lay there in some store and figure out whether that's the mattress for you. You got to sleep in it, not for days or weeks, but for months. And then you can decide. Casper lets you do that. It's really a great service. Get a Casper mattress, $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. And compared to industry averages, that is an outstanding price. And you can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to Casper.com/TNT and entering the promo code TNT. That's right, $50 off your mattress. That's Casper.com/TNT. And make sure you remember the promo code TNT. Our TNT fan of the day is Rod Lucas from Kent, UK, who posted this picture on Twitter. We love our audience members when they post these things. You know, somebody sent me a request today on Twitter for a shout out. Yeah, we'll give you a shout out, but you got to post a picture. Anyway, there's Rod Lucas from Kent, UK. He's got lots of monitors, like it seems like all of our audience members do. And he's got, what is that, a brandy snifter? I don't know what that is. He's enjoying a beverage, that I know. All right, well, great stuff, Rod in the UK. How do you watch or listen to TNT? Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook and use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT and we will find it. Katie Benner, thank you so much for co-anchoring today. What the heck are you working on?
Right now, Google is always very interesting. Facebook is, of course, the F8 conference makes them something that all reporters are looking at right now. And then, of course, there's Ellen Powell coming up. We're going to get a verdict probably at the end of the week.
All right. Any predictions on the Ellen Powell verdict?
No predictions. It's really tough. I think that anybody who was in the courtroom could see that this is not a clear case. There's no reason to believe that the jury will have an easy time deciding. I think that everybody agrees that Ellen really wanted to do a good job at Kleiner Perkins and really wanted a seat at the table and to succeed. And what they'll have to decide is whether or not she went about it in the right way.
All right. Well, we'll look for your coverage on that and everything else. You can find Katie Benner's work at Bloomberg View. Don't forget to check it out. Thanks again, Katie.
Thank you.
All right. You can subscribe to Tech News Today on your podcast app. Great place to subscribe. Or you can choose another way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. You can watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC at live.twit.tv or on the app or browser plugin of your choice. If you're ever in Sonoma County, come on in and watch us as part of our studio audience. And you can follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV. You can follow me on Pinterest. Yeah, I'm on Pinterest. I'll admit it. I'm on Pinterest. Pinterest.com/Mike Elgin. And let us know what you think. Send us an email to tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW. Leave a message on our voicemail. Also, don't miss Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific every single weeknight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tech News Today. My name's Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.